we're not starting a series through the book of Romans. That would take us another year and a half to get through. But I wanted to begin today talking with you about this this word grace. And throughout the Bible, it is, especially the New Testament, grace is something that we read about all the time. In every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, he started the church, started the letter with an introduction of who he is, and then said, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He would vary that a little bit. He would add a little bit, maybe mercy into that, or a little something else to that. But grace is something that is absolutely special. C.S. Lewis was asked one time, and I believe he's probably one of the greatest theologians that we've had in the 20th century at least. And C.S. Lewis was asked one time, what makes Christianity different from every other religion in the world? And the question was asked, and it was couched in the idea that all religions seem to have some variation of the Ten Commandments, at least the moral laws there, that we're not to lie, we're not to kill, we're not to steal, we're not to commit adultery, and these kinds of things. What makes Christianity different from all these others? And C.S. Lewis said, that's simple, grace. And it's not the grace that we give to each other, but the grace that is given to us by God, the grace that comes down from Him to us, because we wouldn't have that relationship with Him if it were not for this grace. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we had repented, before we had turned to God and began to try to follow Him, while we were still sinners, the grace of God was extended to us through the death of Jesus on the cross. You say, well, of course it was. It was 2,000 years ago. But before you could ever really come to know Jesus, the Spirit of God has to begin to draw you to Him. The book of John is very clear about that, that we can't really even come to Christ without the Spirit of God beginning to draw us and make us aware that we're dead in our sins and trespasses. And grace is what is there to give us this relationship with God. Now, without God's mercy and grace, there's no salvation in Him. If it were not for the mercy of God, and you understand the difference, I hope, between mercy and grace. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve to be the one hanging on that cross, but Christ stepped in there in our place for us. That's mercy. That's God saying, you deserve death, but I'm going to show mercy on you. Grace, on the other hand, is getting what we don't deserve. Once that mercy has been shown, and once we have come to know Jesus, we get, and really even as we are coming to know Jesus, we get that grace. We are offered a relationship with God. Now, there's story after story that we could tell about someone who caught a person stealing from them and then gave that person a job instead of turning them into the police, gave that kid a job, taught them how to do whatever their business was, and them turn out to be the one that would take over that business later on. That's a wonderful thing. You know, that's a great story, but grace is so much more than that. The grace of God says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that sin is what was killing us, and God forgave us that sin through His mercy. And by His grace, He didn't say, I've got a place over here that you can stay, a little corner room that, or a little pantry over here that I can put a bed in that you can sleep in. He said, you're now a child of the King. You're now part of the kingdom. Not just part of the kingdom, but you're royalty. You're a child of mine. And that grace is so incredible. And We're going to talk about grace because we're going to spend a few weeks doing that. I titled the series we're doing Portraits of Grace. I want to be able to go back really even through the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, pick out some of the characters that the grace of God was demonstrated in such a beautiful way, and show you pictures of this grace. And we understand the grace of God in salvation, but what I've come to understand as I have begun studying this is how much more grace is involved in after we're saved. How much more it is that grace gives us once we come to know Christ. Mercy is used in the New Testament about 30 times. Grace, it's important for you to, as we get into this a little further, to understand the Greek word for grace is charis. We get a word charisma from it, somebody that's kind of winsome. But it has many different meanings that all revolve around grace. And there's where mercy is used about 25 to 30 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. Grace is used 155 times in over 140 verses. God puts an emphasis on grace. And it's something that we need to understand. I believe as we get into this, we'll see that whatever the problem is we're having, whatever the struggle is in our faith and our walk with Christ, much of it in our lives, it is either a misunderstanding of grace or just a walking away from God's grace and not tapping into it. But if we understand the grace of God, then we understand the love of God and we understand the depths that He's willing to go to be here with us, for us, through everything that we go through. And one of the things that brought this out to me, that made me question and start to dig more about grace, is this phrase that Paul uses, grace to you. Grace to you. Let me start reading there in verse 1 of Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David, according to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, including you who are called by Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for your grace that we get to begin studying today. And Father, I pray that you will just speak into each one of us. Show us where your grace is just overwhelming us in our lives, and where you want to show that grace and mercy to us, Father. But mainly that grace. Father, guide us into your word and teach us through it. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is why grace to you? Why is it that Paul says, starts each of these letters with grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? One, he says, grace, mercy, and peace. He has some variation of this in every letter that he writes in the Bible. And it's not that it's some holy pattern that he had to follow. None of the other gospel writers or epistle writers of the epistles use this phrase, use this greeting, but Paul does. And what I realized as I've read through this is that everything that is in these first six verses, and really everything that is in all of the scripture that follows in the book of Romans, is summed up in this one phrase. Let me show you what I mean. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, there in verse 1, Being a servant of Christ Jesus, that word servant is one that we use it today, and it's used as a translation because it softens what that word means. The word is actually a bond slave, somebody that is a slave of Christ. Well, we don't want to be a slave. It's got a very bad connotation to it. But the type of slave that it's talking about here is one that is not bought and paid for and owned by somebody, but a slave that was able to have his freedom, but has chosen to stay with that master. Chosen to stay with this one because he loves him, because he wants to serve him. Paul's saying, I've chosen to serve Jesus. Now, I made the statement a moment ago, we can't come to him unless the Spirit of God draws us, and that's true. But you've got a choice in trusting Christ or not, following Jesus or not. And Paul said, it's my choice that I'm following him. But he's also saying here that God chose me. He said, I'm called as an apostle. Now, he wasn't bragging. He wasn't pulling his collar out, you know. I've got to say the other, not this week, but last week, we had the funeral for Miss Evelyn, and our youth pastor was cheating. It was hot, and I looked over as I'm preaching the sermon, and his shirt is doing this number right here, and he's got a fan on his belt right there blowing up into his shirt. I said, that ain't right. Now, you got to stop. I told him afterwards. I didn't interrupt the funeral. Look, Paul's not saying, look, I'm somebody special. He's saying, God chose me to be an apostle. That's the only reason I am one. And an apostle there is one that was going to go, and he tells us he was one appointed to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He said, I'm set apart. I chose Christ, Christ chose me, and Christ has set me apart for the gospel of God. Now, every one of us are set apart for the gospel of God. That is your purpose as a child of God, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. That is your purpose as a child of God. I had a lady in another church tell me this church ended up not liking me very well, but down in, well, just leave it alone. They didn't like me very well, but I told this lady, she said, I don't believe God wants me to witness to anybody. I think he just wants me to love on them when they come here. And I would tell her every time, you're wrong. God gives the command to every Christian to share the gospel. It's there. We're to be witnesses of Jesus. But let's get off of that for a moment. We are set apart. That means, I told you about the shirt that I'm wearing. Tracy bought it for me back early in June when we went off for our anniversary. It's a very nice shirt, and she paid more for it than I've ever paid for a shirt and a pair of pants together. And she wanted me to have it for Sunday morning. She wanted me to have it to wear to meetings I may go to with other pastors and everything. It's kind of set apart. But we were at a fishing cabin up in the mountains the day that she bought it, and we went out to eat that night. I wore it. I came back to the cabin, and I had my waders and my fishing boots that I went fishing in the river with, and I walked out. We were going to be leaving the next day, so I took those boots, and I clapped them together to knock the mud off of them, and mud went all over the shirt. Broke my heart. She about broke my head. And this shirt is supposed to be set apart for something, not for fishing, not for cleaning boots off. We're set apart for something special. These things are important. Paul talks in verse 2 there about the gospel, which he promised beforehand through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis all the way to the Revelation, you get the gospel of Christ. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David, we've got the prophecies that verify he's who he says he is. According to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of the faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, including you who are called by Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, listen, this gospel is going out into all the world, and it's going out by grace. We've received grace, apostleship. It was a grace of God that called me to be a child of God. It was a grace of God that called me to be a pastor of a church. I was thinking this morning for some reason that I wasn't lamenting this. I'll never preach to tens of thousands of people at one time like Billy Graham did. But you know, Billy Graham never got to stand here and preach to you either. I've got something on him. He's got a lot on me, but I've got something on him. It's a grace that God gives us. A gift that God gives us. But all these things, Paul wraps up in this greeting, grace to you. All of these things I want to be given to you. Every one of them. He's saying, may God's grace pour into you, and may you know His peace because of it. The grace of God was not given just at salvation. It is a river that flows and flows and flows. And we're never meant to contain that river. We're meant to be a conduit of it. God pours that grace out into us, and we pour it out into everybody else that's around us. It's the grace of God. It impacts everything. Well, I want you to see next how grace is in the mix. And we're going to wrap it up kind of quickly with this. How many of you had coffee this morning? Raise your hands if you had coffee this morning. You took water, you poured it into the coffee maker, you poured the ground coffee in, or you may have one that grinds the beans for you. And that hot water poured over the coffee, and it brought the flavor and the color and the aroma and all that into the water. It became coffee. Some of you may not like coffee. You might like tea. Tea is the same thing. Boil the water, put the tea bag in it, let it steep a while, and you've got something more than water now. Well, grace is much like that, but I want you to understand grace is not what flavors. Grace is the water. Grace is what is the constant, the thing that doesn't change. And grace is poured into your life, and your life is flavored by that grace. The flavors of your life are put into that grace, and it's shown through you. Does that make sense to you? So the first thing I want you to see here is about grace, things that we're going to be looking at. I spent hours this week pouring through these scriptures where grace is used in the New Testament, trying to categorize them and see the different ways that grace is used. And then finally yesterday I realized I could go on ChatGPT and say, give me a summary of grace in the New Testament, and it gave me a good summary in about 30 seconds. So that was a pretty easy way to do that. It verified everything I had been studying. But here's the first thing that I want you to see. Grace is unmerited favor from God. That's our salvation. For you're saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's so that no man can boast. It's not by works, so we can't boast. Grace, it's by grace that we're saved in no other way. The next thing there is that grace is a divine empowerment or enablement. I told Tom we would go through these kind of quickly. I just want you to see these things. Grace is a divine empowerment or enablement. Through Him, Romans 1:5, we just read it. Through Him we have received grace and apostleship about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among the Gentiles. I can take you to other scriptures that talk about the grace that God gives us in our giftedness in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians as well. There's a gift of grace that God gives us that empowers us, enables us to serve in certain ways. There are certain gifts that He gives us to be able to speak to people, to know what's going on, all kinds of different gifts, but it's that grace that empowers us and enables us. The next one there is grace as a greeting or a blessing. Grace to you. What we're looking at here I want God's grace on you. It's a great greeting or blessing. The fourth one is grace as gratitude. Gratefulness. Paul says grace is all through the book of Romans. But in that next verse, in verse 8, Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because of the news of your faith is being reported in all the world." I thank my God because of all of you. The word thank there is the word charis, the same word translated grace. If you go to Paul talking about being thankful for something, it's the word Eucharist, which in the middle of that you see the word charis. Grace is at the center of everything. Grace is at the center of all of it. The gratitude, the thankfulness that we show to God, that we return to Him as we worship Him, all of this is by grace. Everything by grace. And the last one, grace is favor from people in God. The angel told Mary there in Luke 1:30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Same word. You found grace with God. Not because of what she had done, but because God loves her. And in Acts 2:47, the church was growing, and they'd had 3,000 people added to the church on that day of Pentecost. And as they kept sharing the gospel, the church kept multiplying and growing. And it describes the church as praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the grace of all the people. One of the great things to see in the church is when somebody comes in and they're not sure about being here, but you show love to them. You show grace to them. You love on that person and get involved in their life. Get to know them, and they turn and come to faith in Christ, or they turn and want to be known as a part of this church, as a believer in Christ. Some people may walk into a church expecting to be treated poorly. That shouldn't happen. That should never happen. That grace, that favor is on this person, and it's coming from Christ through you. And I look around the room and I see people that's true of. I did pastor one church that, actually the same church I was talking about earlier, but a friend of mine joined the church, a guy I worked with, and he said he was great Sunday school teacher. And I'd been teaching the class that was the 50s age group, and he took it over for me after he'd been there a little while. And he told me one day, he said, "This church is the friendliest church in the world until you join it." And he said, "After you join it, they don't want anything to do with you." And I said, and he was right. And I said, "You know, what did you do to overcome that?" He said, "Well, I just made them talk to me." He was, that was kind of personality. I just made them, I made them like me. I made them talk to me. Folks, the grace of God pours through you into others. That favor of God. So here's what I want you to see today. The importance of grace. And this is kind of an introduction to this series we're going to do. I wanted you to see a little bit of how broad grace is. It is deep. We can never fathom the depths of it, but it is broad as well. It covers everything to do in the Christian life. As I said to begin with, if there's a struggle that you have in your faith, in your walk with Jesus, a struggle that you're going through in life, faith, in your faith, grace is there. And grace is for you. Whatever's missing in your life, if it can be traced back, I believe it can be traced back to not understanding grace or not living in grace. if we understand this grace, and we'll never understand it fully. When we come to faith in Christ, we understand the gospel. And then as we grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of the scriptures, we understand we didn't know much at all when we trusted Jesus. And some people say, well, can an 8-year-old really know what they're talking about when they come to faith in Christ? They can. And they're going to grow up. They're going to have ups and downs. But if they've believed in Jesus, there's something there to hold them, for them to hang on to. And we pray for them to come back if they walk away from Christ as they get to be teenagers or young adults. But there's something there. We'll never understand grace, but we understand that grace applies here. Whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with and struggling with, whatever the hurt is, the grace of God applies right here. You're dealing with a bad relationship, whether it's a marriage or children or problems at work or maybe other family, grace applies. And grace doesn't mean, oh, I forgive everything, just don't worry about it. That's not the way God gives us grace. Our sins are paid for. They've been dealt with. And because we're now free and clear, we have grace. But it's kind of like asking somebody to go out to eat with you that doesn't have any money, or their bank account's overdrawn several hundred dollars. They can't go right now. Okay, you're going to buy theirs if you take them out. But when their account's clear and their account's in the green, then, hey, we can go, we can have a great time. Grace is there to supply all that need. What you're struggling with, God's grace is there for you. There's somebody around you that can step in and help you and show that grace of God to you. And one day you're going to be able to step in and help somebody else and show that grace of God to them. Grace is there for your salvation. Christ paid for our sins. But if that were my son, my child, that had paid the price for your sins, you wouldn't get anywhere near me. But God's grace says, I love you. That's why we did this, because I love you. We're not worthy, but he loves us. And some may think, well, you know, the church doors might fall, you know, the church might fall in on me if I walk through the doors. God doesn't love me and doesn't want anything to do with me. God does love you, and he wants everything to do with you. If you don't know Christ as Savior today, that grace is what you ask him for, his mercy and his grace. Everything's been done to forgive you of your sin. You just need to accept it. And once you accept it, you don't forget about it. You start walking with him, and that grace is what oils everything in your life, lubricates all of it, and makes it go. Through that grace, he fills you, he supplies you, he moves you, he protects you. There's so much that it covers that I can't wait to get into with you. But today, if you need God's grace in any way, it's there for you. If you need to know him, all you've got to do is say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to know you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin and make me one of your children. And you will immediately be saved. I want you to let me know about that, whether you come down the aisle in just a moment or you catch me on the way out or call me through the week. Let me know about that if you do that. It may be that you just need to come and pray for God's grace. There's something you're struggling with and you want that grace at work. Come pray today. There's somebody maybe that you know that needs to know Jesus. The grace of God is there for them. We got a great opportunity coming up for you to invite that person here. Homecoming is coming up a month from today, the first weekend, first Sunday in August. And our revival begins there. We've got a great evangelist, Scott Smith, coming. Scott was here 2 years ago, and a tremendous preacher. And you can invite that person to come and be a part of the worship. We've got food, so they'll show up most likely if you invite them. So come. Whatever you need to do today, I want to ask you to stand with me and let's pray. And as we finish praying and begin to sing, if God's dealing with you about anything, if there's anything you need to pray about, come to the altar this morning and pray. Father, thank you. You love us. You give us tremendous grace. It's an incredible gift. And Father, as we begin to look at these people that have walked with you throughout history, we'll see how that grace works and how your grace works in us in everyday life. Not just a concept or an idea, but you at work in us in everyday life, right where we are. Father, I pray right now that we have, each one of us, Lord, have heard from you, and that we'll respond however it is you're telling us to, Lord. This in your name we pray. Amen.